Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Tide Chasers. We have a super exciting episode for you this evening. As you could tell from the title of the season, this season has just started. Now, before we introduce our guest captain for the show, if you haven't already done so, make sure you please subscribe, like, share, and leave us a review as it helps us, our channel, out a lot. Plus, make sure you follow us on Facebook at Tide Chasers Podcast and also on Instagram at Tide_Chasers. Now, once again, I'm your host, Kwa, and And as always, my partner will be here, my co-host, Dan Mancari. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, man. Great, great, great. I see this weather cleaning up. I'm happy to get out there ready to roll, man. I'm good.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, at this time, I'd like to love to introduce our guest. He's a longtime surfcaster, has many years under his belt chasing striped bass all the way from New Jersey all the way up to Maine. And this year, he will be running charters, which he's going to explain later when, time, where he's located, how you guys can reach out to him. So make sure, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you, Captain Chris Butcher of Rockfish Smarty. How you doing, buddy?
What's up? Welcome. Thank you.
Welcome, Chris.
All right. So let's just cut into the nitty gritty. Chris, at what age did you start fishing? Who were your influences? And pretty much let us hear your backstory of how you got here today.
All right. Here we go. I'm a little old. I'm 50. So I started fishing in the 80s, around 1980, 10 years old. My dad always took me fishing. I grew up in Bayonne, New Jersey, so I fished the Kill Van Call and surrounding waters of Jersey City, but mostly down the Kill with my bike, worm and striped bass in the early 80s, which was a hard task to do, to catch those back then. And I fished there till I got my driver's license, and once I turned 17 in 1988, that's when I started venturing out to Sandy Hook and Raritan Bay shores, and that stuff. So, but my first striped bass was, I think I was 11 at the Kill Van Call on sandworms, 36 inches. I was very excited for that. So,
I mean, that's a really good first striped bass.
Yeah, so not bad at all.
It's a solid way to break into the sport, that's for sure.
Yes, that's how you get hooked.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then, that you literally turn into like a crazy guru of a surfcaster, from what I hear from a lot of guys locally.
Yeah. I fished a lot, traveled a lot, but I really fished not with a lot of people. There was no internet back then. So there was no way to, you know, hook up with people, or unless you were there and you fish with people. So what I did in, the late 90s, I joined Asbury Park Fishing Club, and, I learned from the best of the best in Monmouth County from those guys, and Ocean County, but mostly Monmouth County because I lived up that way. And, you know, took a little while in that club to get under some of those guys' wings, to give them a little, to get a little info from these people. But, you know, if they take a liking to you, you definitely learn a lot from the old timers.
Gotcha. Now, that's a great club. They run a really good show every year. Just, I mean, kind of sad it was canceled the past two seasons, but I'm waiting for the next show this in 22, man. They overrode a fantastic show down there every year.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it started probably about 15 years ago was our first show, and it got bigger ever since. It's really good. I do a lot of help with the club, setting all that up and everything, so it's cool getting to plug builders and stuff like that. Yeah,
cool. So yeah, as of recently, You got your boat. So now, you know, now you're catching striped bass and rock, you know, sea bass and tog and all that off your boat. Have you surf fished at all ever since you got your boat? occasionally?
I'll give you a little background, a little history also. I did have my captain's license back in 92. Okay. I got my captain's license, and I was working for the tackle box with Phil Fortino and helping him run his boat and working in the store and stuff like that. But two kids later and a wife and a house, and that charter business wasn't going to cut. I had to get a real job. So I'm an electrician by trade. And I still, so I got my captain's license again. I had to redo everything all over again just to get going again now that I got a boat. So it's not like it's my first time being a captain. I did do it before. No.
Gotcha.
And yeah, just dropped the boat in yesterday, first time. And I wasn't expecting big things out there, but it turned out to be big things. Small bass to begin with, towards the back of the bay on shads. And on my way back, I saw some gannets working in the middle of the bay pretty much. And it was game on. It was bass pushing bunker on the surface. And big metal lips got it done. You could have pretty much threw anything and caught a fish for a few hours. And it's nice. There's not a lot of boats out. So it was definitely a good afternoon and great first trip.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Hey, that's just a little idea and reminder, guys. Captain Chris is he's giving you guys a little hint. You guys want to get on those big bass early before the fleet gets out there. You know, hit them up, call them in. I mean, we're gonna give you guys info a little bit later. Those fish are here now. The fleet's not out there. It makes it fun. Just imagine a whole good 4, 6, 7 hours out there by your lonesome. No, what, you know, on Captain Chris's boat, bass everywhere. There's no other boats around. You got, like literally just said, it was a fish every cast. Now, you can't get any better than that. You throw metal lips, you throw top wire, you're getting something. You know what I mean? That makes up for an incredible day.
Yes.
All right. So, I mean, what finally made you decide to take your hobby that you love so much about striped bass fishing and turn it into a part-time business?
I'm fishing anyway. I'm out there pretty much as the charter guys. My job allows me to fish in the afternoons, and I have a very understanding wife. My kids are older, college bound, so I have the time to get out there, and I'm fishing every afternoon and weekends. So I figure, why not make a few bucks and cover the expenses and have fun? And I love taking my kids fishing. I always did, even surf fishing. So I always encourage the dads and moms out there to get their kids out there and fish. Definitely would love to have them on my boat. I'm all about that.
Yeah, Dan's the same way. Dan loves taking his kids fishing, involves them in as much fishing as he can, man. I mean, that's what makes you guys great dads, you know, including the family. Yeah. I mean, that's how we all got started. You know, our parents, our dad, you know, took us fishing, and that's why we're hooked and obsessed with it now. And then, you know, and you guys just pass it down to the generation, and then it makes it even better.
Yeah. My kids are very fortunate to be with me in the 2010 to 2013 when those big bass were on the beach every spring.
Yeah.
And my kids tagged along, and I handed rods off. I threw metal lips out in the water. I reeled it in. They're catching 20, 30 pound fish. Amazing. And they thought nothing of it. You know, not too many kids could say they have a 30 pound bass under their belt from the surf.
Definitely,
you know,
not.
So it was crazy. Actually, you know, the one trip on the beach, Sean DiVincenzo, when he caught his 52 pounder, he actually wanted to hand his rod off to my daughter, and she's like, no, it's too big. I don't want to reel it in. And it wound up being 52 pounds.
Oh, man.
Great story. Wow.
That's great. And the best part of it is, you know what? You're passing it down to your daughters too. You know, it's in this industry, there's not that many female fishermen or anglers as we see, but you know, it's great that you're passing it down to your daughters, and they're totally involved and they love what you do. And you know, that's totally awesome for us too.
Yeah, on my trips, I'm probably going to be running them myself. But if I do get 4 or 5 guys or some kids, I might actually have my daughter come out and work deck for me. She's probably one of the most knowledgeable ones. She knows my boat, and you know, she's very good at that. So she might be out there with us too.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Hey Chris, I want to add something real quick. How old were your kids when you were running the surf with them?
Believe it or not, I have a lot of friends that'll vouch for me. I had them out there at 7, 8 years old, maybe 10, maybe my oldest was 10, but, of course they didn't really want to be there, but I'm like, listen, the bass are there. I got to go. You're coming with me. My wife was at work, and, you know, everyone in my club, they would keep an eye on them, and they'd play in the stand. I'd keep an eye on them because I'm not far from the jetty, you know. And but yeah, they're 10 years old till now, you know, they'll still go with me.
Very nice. Yeah, I look at it as kind of our kids are our legacy in this world. You know, we pass on, you know, our views, the way we view conservation and everything. And then they get to do that and spread that message to their friends, their family down the road. So I've always found it very important to pass that on. With my son, for example, just like you, when I took him out on the river walleye fishing, he was 4 years old. He's climbing on the rocks and the trees behind us. Then he comes up for 5 minutes and slams an 8-pound walleye almost. And it's like game on at that point. So that right there changed him from, you know, putzing around doing parkour in the background behind me to being in it. You know, it's just right. It takes one little thing. And now every day he's like, "Daddy, when can we go fishing? When can we go fishing?" He was 4 years old, caught yeah. almost 8-pound walleye. I've been fishing for walleye for God, 5-6 years now. And I've only caught two bigger than that. I've caught hundreds. So it's pretty cool to be able to pass that on to them. And that's why I'm asking you, because I want to know when it's appropriate, I guess, to get him out on the surf with me there. So,
yeah, I mean, it all depends on your child. My child, I had two girls and they're very content that, you know, I don't have to worry about them running away. I know some boys are crazy and they're going to run and you got to chase them. I never had that situation. So it worked out well for me.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, and my daughter, she was with the camera, always taking pictures and videos and stuff. So it was fun.
Yeah. My middle daughter likes to fish with me. I think it's more or less because she just likes to have that time with me. My older daughter's kind of like, she'll do it from time to time, but my middle daughter's into it. My son is really into it. And that's all I can ask for. I mean, I can't force it on them, but I really do enjoy when they take some interest in it, for sure. I mean, it's a lot better than them picking up an iPad. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're gonna take a quick minute here, and we're gonna talk about how me and you first met, Chris. Do you remember how we first met?
I think it was I had a car problem.
That's right. You had a little leaking car problem. Your car was leaking, and then like I just saw it on, you know, it was in one of the groups, and then I was just like, "Hey, I'm already down here fishing. You want to stop by? And I'll pause my fish and put my rod down. I'll take a peek at it. You know, if I can take anything I can help you with, you know, I can help you with and take a peek." And then we had our first boat trip together. I think it was just last year.
Last fall.
Yeah. Literally you just had an open invite. And then I replied and you said, "Come on down, you know, no questions asked." We had a really good day that day too.
That was a good day too. Yeah.
That was a lot of good days
on a Rockfish Marty.
Yeah. Definitely a lot of good days, man. I mean, that day for me was pretty epic, you know. Rolling around, I caught a few fish, and then literally we walked in, like you literally just rolled on top of the mother load. Like they were just like rolling all around the boat. We didn't have to move. We were throwing top water, spooks. I put my PB on the boat that day. It was like 47 inches. It was a good fish. It was a fantastic day, dude. I'm gonna thank you for that. It was a great day. I enjoyed every minute of it.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Cool. All right. So now we're going to get into the good stuff. Now we're going to talk about the type of trips you're going to be running in the spring, fall. Let's start with spring, summer and fall. Since spring's coming up now, where is your boat going to be? And what are we focusing on?
All right. Spring, my boat is in up in the Raritan Bay in Kingsburg called Comfort Point Marina. So if anyone knows where the floodgates are in Kingsburg, it's in that marina there. So it's perfectly located for the Raritan Bay Bite, targeting striped bass all of April and all of May. And you're 5 minutes to the fishing ground. So we're going to be fishing. I love plugging fish. So that's my main thing I will be doing. I will get some bunker for live lining for just in case. I'll try not to troll almost never. I can't stand it. So, but I'd rather have guys learn how to, you know, throw big plugs, metal lips, you know, learned a few other different tactics with jigs. I've been throwing these big spoons. It's a freshwater spoon that's been very productive the past two springs. And then live line and bunker, you know. And then once the summer comes, I live in Tom's River, and I live on the water in the Barnegat Bay. So my boat will go back there in June. And I'll be running some fluke trips. I'm probably going to take it easy in the summer. Definitely some sea bass. And then once the fall comes, we'll be chasing the bass again, and definitely blackfish, one of my favorite, all on jigs and light tackle blackfishing. Yeah, we'll be picking people up probably in Point Pleasant area, so you don't have to drive all the way back to my house. Pick you up in Point Pleasant, and we'll shoot right out the inlet, and we'd be fishing in 20 minutes, half hour.
Very nice.
Very nice. What species do you really prefer to make trips for? Like, just say top three species you love to run trips for.
Definitely striped bass, number one. Been doing all my life. Number two, blackfish. Now, back in the day when I blackfished, everything was 11-ounce sinkers with a crab. I was never really good at it. But once these jigs came out and the crabs with the light tackle, it made everybody blackfish heroes, including myself. I'm not gonna lie. It is amazing catching them on light jigs. Yeah. And sea bass is fun. I miss the bluefish. I love catching bluefish. They're fun. They've been scarce the past two years. It seems like they're not coming inshore. But hopefully this year it'll make a showing.
Do you have any theory why we haven't seen them since 2017, I think, was the last really good run we had?
Yeah, the Bay used to get them like you couldn't get away from them back in a few years ago. It was a nuisance with the bluefish when you're trying to bass fish. Mm-hmm. I think they're just staying offshore. I think there's plenty of bait out there, and that there's no reason for them to come in. That's what I think.
Okay. I mean, since we're on the subject, what about the bass fishery? Do you really think we're that in a decline, or do you just think that like my theory was they're offshore, more further deeper offshore, past the 3-mile line, which is great because no one can reach them, and that they just don't come in. I mean, the baits here, they just don't feel like coming in. What do you think?
I think, yeah, true. Here's a good example. This past fall, we're on a 3-mile line jigging bass on sand eels, and there's pods and pods of bunker right off the beach without a bass in them.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Do they prefer sand eels over bunker? I don't know. But I think there's a few things. Beach replenishment's definitely hurting the ecosystem along the shoreline. Those bass probably don't want to come in if they don't have to. And I think the migration route of killing all these fish the past 10, 15 years, those fish, they're not here. They're not here to catch anymore.
Cool. I remember running up there a couple of times this fall, and I remember reaching out to you and a couple other captains. And then you guys said, the fish, there's fish. You guys got to work for them. You know what I mean? They're not like literally just drop anywhere and there's fish. They're there. And then we got tuna guys out there that'll just, they'll call and they're just like, yo, we got miles and miles of bass out here, but you can't fish them. So, I mean, in a way, I think the bass have gotten a little bit smarter and they've moved out. So they know where the line is and they've moved outside there and just kind of make their way where they need to go,
Yeah. Yeah. They had bass this past fall, 10 miles out at the Manasquan Ridge for a week or two. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then you look at the gray fish tag research that Jim Hutchison and Chuck Manny and them guys are doing. These fish are out in the canyon. They have them. It's amazing. I would have never thought in a million years striped bass would run out to the canyon.
I mean, you figure if they're coming from like Block Island and stuff, I mean, it's not that far for them. They just literally just stay out there. They don't even have to run the shoreline. And there's always miles and miles of bunker out there. We've seen miles and miles of bunker just all the way out there. So why come in when they don't have to? I mean, do you fish the back much? The back bay? Besides Raritan, I mean, do you fish like the back of, your house area, Tom's River, stuff like that?
Yeah, I'll do that early spring. I'll fish the back of the Tom's River, around bridges and stuff like that. Small shads, but you're never really catching big fish, mostly, under keeper size.
Okay.
Fish, but it's fun, something to do.
Yeah.
And, but I'm mostly, since I joined like Asbury back in the day, I'm a river rat by heart. I love fishing the Navesink Shrewsbury in April and May and the Raritan Bay Shore. But back in the day, you go up there and all you would see is your club guys. You wouldn't see 30, 40 guys and can't get a parking spot. So it definitely changed. It's not the same. But of late, I heard the flats in Raritan Bay have been pretty good, though.
The flats, yeah. I've heard that it's starting to pick up now. So, I mean, it's good. So from here, we're going to go a little deeper into the Raritan fishery, since that's where your boat and your charter is going to run. Let's focus on it first as a surf caster, because we know you've been a surf caster for many, many years. And then we'll work into the boat tactics. Discuss a little bit about, you know, great, good tides, temperatures, baits, lures, time of day, stuff like that. You know, whatever kind of little secrets you want to help these new anglers, you know, out a little bit. You know, I mean, there's years of knowledge up there. You know, it's good to help out the younger generation nowadays.
I'll try to give a couple of tips, but I know some of the local guys might give me some. I might be getting a phone call later, but we'll see what we can do. But back in the day, we didn't plug fish much in the early 2000s, late 90s. It was most, believe it or not, it was a big clam fishery back then, even on the boats and the surf. We would go there with buy a bushel of clams and clam fish. And obviously the best time to clam fish would be a nor'easter or a north wind blowing those, making some white water in your face to stir everything up. And we had some phenomenal nights where we would just fish, go through a bushel of clams in a tide. It's amazing. And I'm probably 90% surf fishing the Bayshore at night. The Bayshore, the whole coastline of the Bayshore is shallow. It's all flats, mud flats. They're shallow. They warm up quick. The fish get on them, and they don't like to be on them in the daylight because it's shallow water. They'd rather be in the 18, 20 feet of water in the middle of the bay. And then at night, when those bunkers or whatever come up, or even worms, they'll come and root in those muds, flats. And that's why I'd rather fish at night. And my favorite tide, the high tide is very good. Like the last of the incoming and top of the outgoing is very good. But on certain winds, if it's blowing pretty good out of the northeast, believe it or not, and the wind is holding the water in the bay, I like the bottom of the end. People are like, oh, there's not no water. But when you have a northeast wind holding the bay water in, there's enough water, you know, so that low tide churns up the water good. And we do really well there when people might be sitting home. And the worst weather is usually the best for striper fishermen. We all know that.
That sounds about right.
And then I started plugging, going out at night, throwing, you know, the SP minnows and the mag daughters. And then, you know, if you see bunker at night or getting stuck in your line, you know, big metal lips will work also nice and slow across the top. And I'm also a big chunker. I do it. I'll try anything, whatever works, you know, but I love chunk and bunker too. I'll catch all my bunker fresh. There's a few spots in the back rivers where you have to go and catch your own. So if you're coming down, give yourself an extra hour just to find some bait. And so you have fresh bunker every night. I'll never buy frozen bunker, and I'll never put it in a bag and save it for tomorrow. Never, ever. Always fresh. If I can't get fresh, I'll leave the fish plugs or I won't fish.
Wow, that's really good advice right there, guys. Remember, Captain Chris said fresh bunker or fish plugs. That's it. Nothing frozen.
Never.
Hey, Chris, now would you say like you enjoy how how your fishing for striped bass has evolved from like the 90s to the 10s to now? Do you like fishing for them more? Is it more enjoyable to do the plugs and everything now more so than it was in the past when you weren't doing them?
I'd say, you know, it's a little bit of, you know, how you get tired of doing one thing. Let's try something else. Like right. I love chunking. There's nothing like, and when I chunk, I'm not like sticking my rod in a rod holder and waiting for it to bend over. I hold my rod constantly. I'm always using a conventional. I love, you know, you could almost sense when these bass are swimming around your lure. Don't nudge that bunker chunk around. You can move it a little bit with your line, move it a little bit and make them pick it up. So it's almost like working a lure, but you're fishing a bait and not like picking it up.
Nice.
All right, cool. So, all right, say just me and Dan booked a trip with you, just say next week. So describe to us usually what's a typical day on the Rockfish Smarty, like hour wise, like what time we meet you at the dock, and as soon as we pull off the dock, kind of what's our agenda? What are you looking for? What are we looking to do that day for a trip in the morning?
So what we're going to do is all my trips during the week, unfortunately have to be in the afternoon because of my real job. I work till 1 o'clock. So during the week, I'll be doing afternoon trips, like 2 o'clock on. I'm not going to set a time saying a 5 hour trip. Let's be back at 7. If the bike gets good at 7 o'clock, we're going to stay there till dark if we have to and catch fish. But we'll come out. First thing we'll do is go look for some bunker, net bunker. I throw a 10 foot Percy net. We'll net some bunker, put them in a live well, and go on our search and destroy mission. Go looking for, I'd love to see if we can find bass on top. But we'll mark them and we'll throw a live bunker out. I like throwing bunker out without a weight so the bass come up and eat it. And a lot of times I'll throw a bunker out. If I can get a bass to come up and swirl on it, I'll have another guy, one of you guys, with a plug and almost do like a bait switch kind of thing like you do offshore fishing and pull that bunker away from him and throw a plug in front of him there. And a lot of times I'll get that strike. And it's very exciting.
That does sound. That's kind of like how they trick big striped bass into hitting flies. Like they have, they'll rip all the hooks off of like a dock spook, you know, get the bass to follow the dock spook near the boat, and then they'll switch it out, flat cast the fly right into it and right into their mouth, literally.
Yeah, I did that a few times with actually Shelly Karras and Jerry Fabiano at Island Beach for bluefish. It was a little bit of wind, so they couldn't cast far, and the bluefish were out. And I would tease all the bluefish in, and when I get them close, they would throw their flies and hook up to like 15-pound bluefish on a fly. Oh, so man. I would love to get some fly guys on my charter, you know, to get them on a big bass.
Well, you're talking to a fly guy here, so next time I'm ever on your boat, you know, I'm bringing my fly rod then.
Definitely, yeah. I'm not a fly guy. I can't do it, but I can get you where the fish are, that's for sure.
Oh, that just gets me more excited, man. This year, for some reason, I'm just really focused on flies. You know, I just got a polling platform on my skiff, and I'm literally just going to be polling around fly fishing the back bays for striped bass. So
nice.
You just hit on Quaz's trigger word there with the flies there. That's something he's been talking about for months. He's like, I got to get a big bass on flies. So he's over there like licking his lips right now.
Oh, most, yeah, we can do, man. It.
All right. That's, dude, I don't know what I'd have to probably treat you to steak and dinner. Steak,
that's all right.
A nice steak after that for giving me a big bass on a fly.
Right.
All right.
I have no time limit on my trips unless like on a Saturday or Sunday, I have back-to-back trips and I have to be back at the dock. But during the week, normally I'm not going to put a time limit on our trips.
See, guys, that's what you're talking about. A dedicated fisherman or charter captain that all he cares about is the satisfaction and the happiness of his clients. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sure. A lot of charters, they put time limits 4 or 5 hours, you know, that's pretty much, you know, and then they'll be called a day. But like, look, if he says that the bite's on, he likes staying on the bite. He likes enjoying people catching fish. That's, can't complain. How there's nothing to complain about that. If the captain wants to stay out there 10 hours worth of fish and he says, okay, let's do it.
That's it.
Yeah. So, in the future, I mean, I know we still got a few years, you know, since you're just running charters now, do you ever thought about focusing on more exotic species, you know, like maybe tuna trips, mahi, albies, or even cobia?
Definitely. I like to get into the offshore thing. I have a 24-foot sea hunt center console right now with 1 250 on it. So I'm a little eerie about going out, 60, 70 miles. For tuna. But due to albies, when the albies come in, they've been scarce the past two falls also. But the one fall when we had them in, it was phenomenal. It was game on. It was like, you know, National Geographic stuff out there with the albies. I love catching them.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list too. Albies on the fly.
Yes.
Everything on the fly.
Everything on the fly for me this year, man. Everything's on the fly. Hey, look.
We can get it done.
Look, we caught tog on the fly last season.
Wow,
so, yeah, awesome. we caught tog on a fly. It was like off the jetty. I think it was like 7-8 feet of water. We literally put on a crab fly, soaked it in we literally crushed up a bunch of green crabs in the juices, and we soaked our crab fly on there and literally just threw it overboard, really? Threw the line over line, just literally shook it on a sinking line, and once it hit the bottom, dude, those little 18-19 inch tog felt like monsters on a fly rod. It was
I can imagine. Yeah, they pull. Yeah.
All right. So now, how often do you get out and fish for yourself?
I normally fish all the time by myself, but now that I'm running charters, it's going to be a little different, but, you know, it's for the good. I love it. I try to fish springtime, like April, May is prime time. I'm out. If I can fish every day, I'm fishing every day and, or at night rather. So, and, yeah, a lot. And then I'll make my trips in June, July, I'm heading to Cape Cod or I'm heading to Rhode Island, you know, striper fishing, following them up there. And this past fall, my buddy's been going to Virginia. So I might start doing that too in, November, December, like right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We talked a little bit earlier that, your daughters are into fishing. Is your wife into fishing?
My wife used to go with me a lot when we were dating. I don't know if it was a thing cause we were dating, like to make her seem like a cool girlfriend at the time, but, she'll go if it has to be an absolutely pristine day to get her out there. It's, you know, we need like 75 degree days and no wind and I can get her out. But besides that, she's not going.
Yeah, it's tough. I try to get my wife to come out sometimes. And like you said, it's got to be pretty much a pristine day. You know, she'll love going on boat rides, though. She'll go on boat rides all day for fun.
Yeah. So, boat ride with a drink. She's happy.
Yep. That's identical to my wife. Same way.
I'm pretty sure the last time I fished with my wife was on our 1 year dating anniversary. We went fishing and we've been together for 11 years this year. So yeah, it's been about 10 years.
Yeah. And, my wife's understand I'm married 21 years, coming in November, 22 in November. So she's sticking around. So I'm doing something right. Even though I fish a lot.
You know what? That's the big thing too. No, it's like a big shout out to all our wives for putting up what we go through, man. And when the season kicks in, you know, on our head, it's all about fish, 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 boats, boats, fish, fish. And that's all we talk about. You know, like it's, you know, we appreciate that they are very understanding for us.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to do an episode, what it's like to be a wife of a fisherman. So that'll be coming up at some point. You'll hear that one.
That'd be cool.
Have you done any destination trips or trips that you would love to plan in the future?
Yeah, I'd like to go to Cabo. So in the past, since 2012, every other year I would go to Mexico for rooster fish off the surf, in this little town called Mato. And, back in the day it was, invitation only kind of thing, very hush hush, four guys a week, on ATVs. And I was fortunate enough to get an invite and it was amazing. We were catching 8 to 15 roosters a day, every day.
Wow.
And, so nothing gigantic for me, maybe 30 pounds, 35 pounds, but, that's definitely an amazing fish. And, but lately, I heard it's not as good as it used to be, but, I heard Cabo's been good. So I'm looking to make a trip out there and my dream trip's, Costa Rica to go out there too.
That would be your dream destination trip, like a rooster fish trip out to, Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Yeah. If I can get roosters there or even do a, you know, inshore or offshore for marlin or something. Never caught a marlin. I caught tuna before, but never blue marlin or a sailfish. So that would be amazing.
How about tarpon? You ever done tarpon?
I did tarpon down in the Keys with Eric Kerber when he was running trips down there. We took the skiff out. We jumped a few. I never landed one, but we were trying different things like throwing bucktails and jigs and darters, stuff we would do up here for striped bass. We did down there. And they would eat it, but we couldn't land them. But it was fun. Definitely awesome.
Tarpon's still on my list. I mean, as a kid, we fished for them off Sebastian Inlet. Not for them specifically, but like redfish and snooks. And they would occasionally take our little flare hawks, and they would literally spool us, and we'd literally have to go home because we ain't bringing our extra spools.
Yeah. I did catch a couple of snook at Sebastian a few years ago.
Yeah.
Place is amazing.
Yeah, that fishery is pretty amazing. Like that was my backwaters there. So literally I grew up fishing Sebastian. So
nice.
Chris, is there any saltwater fish that you haven't caught that are on your list so far outside of the marlin?
You know what? I'm not picky. I'm just happy to catch any fish. It could be 10 inches. It could be 100 pounds. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not, The only thing I did see when I was rooster fishing, I had a few big Cubera snappers come up and follow my metal lips, and I never hooked one, and I would love to hook one of those one day.
Nice. Yeah,
I heard there's things that massive power, those Cuberas. Yes. I mean, you think about it, these fish literally just sit in the rocks and they just hang out, and then like you got plugs and stuff full of whizzing by them, and like they're the how broad and mass they are, but they can move so fast and grab these plugs, just like gag groupers. You know, they look all big and sluggish and slow, but you rip a plug right through the reefs, you know, and they come out of these holes like a slingshot, and they'll literally rip the rods out of your hand.
Yeah, those giant Goliath groupers are amazing too, but I don't know if I want to deal with fighting one of those things.
At our age, between me, you, and Dan, one of us would throw our back out. We try to freaking bring up a Goliath.
I just threw my back out thinking about it.
I'll be okay with like a juvenile. Now give me like a 60, 70 pounder. You know, I don't need one of those 400 pounders.
Right.
What are your future goals for the Rockfish Smarty?
Future goals, hopefully. Well, my trips, I'm definitely going to practice catch and release. I never keep a striped bass anymore. I know they're in trouble. And we love them. I want my kids when they grow up and their kids to catch them. So, I know a charter, they're paying money. If they want to keep a fish that's in legal limits, I'll let them keep it, but I'll definitely try to encourage them not to, and explain to them why. A lot of these new fishermen don't understand why. So we have to do, let them know what's going on with the striped bass fishery and, the reason why I let them go. Awesome. And hopefully in the future, bigger boat, offshore fishing, that's it.
How's your availability looking like now for spring? I know when we talked a little bit earlier, you said that, it's picking up. This weekend you're sold out. You got no more trips. What are you looking
at? Yeah, yesterday's trip, definitely helped get a book a few more trips now that they know those big bass are definitely here. I'm booked this weekend. During the week, I'm open. I'm going to run open boat tricks. If I get one guy, I'll take them fishing. Two guys, I'll take them fishing during the week. I got like 7 or 8 definites for the month of April. May is, open right now, but just starting. So I actually got one guy from California willing to fly down for a few days to fish with me. I just got that message yesterday.
Oh, that's
so that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Looks like we pretty much wrapped a lot of the questions. Dan, do you have anything?
I got a couple things. Chris, for example, I bounce around all over the place. I go from freshwater to saltwater, sometimes in the same day. Do you have any? Obviously, you seem like the typical salty guy. Like you've been fishing the saltwater for years. Do you ever jump into the freshwater scene and what kind of fish do you target when you do?
Yeah, the only freshwater I really did was never here, but my in-laws live in Florida and they live on a nice golf course down in Delray. So it's pretty cool, the largemouth bass fish down there that people really don't fish. And every now and then you'll get a nice peacock bass in there too. So that's a lot of fun. And I love throwing hard baits. I don't know why. I'm not a big worm guy. And I don't know much about freshwater fishing, but I know those fish down there, the faster you rip it, the faster they're chasing it and eating it. And nice fish, 5-pound largemouth. Yeah. The peacock are, 2-pounders. But that's my extent on freshwater fishing.
So I read you pretty well that you're a salt guy through and through.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nothing wrong with that. I prefer salt, but I in the seasons where it's a little bit lighter, I fall back to the freshwater stuff. So I'm always busy. Yeah. I'm always busy on something. So now you had mentioned, you just briefly mentioned how the striped bass fishery is in trouble and you want to protect them as much as you can. What is your opinion? The regulations, do you feel they're enough? Do you feel like they need to be more strict? I mean, a lot of the guys that I talk to, they're old time surf casters that actually care for the fishery, have brought up the consideration that they would welcome a moratorium to come back. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know about a moratorium. I think there's too many people out there that want to go fish and take a fish home to eat here and there. I think it's one fit. What is it? One fish now, 28 to 37 and whatever right. It is, yeah, just under 38. I think that's fine. You just cut it in half of people taking fish home instead of two fish over 28. I'm not sure about that slot if I'm happy with it. Cause those are prime spawning fish at right. those inches. The bigger fish, yeah, they spawn too, but they're not spawning every year, those 50 pounders. So yeah. By letting them go is, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but
yeah, we've touched on that.
I don't mind though. Keeping a fish here and there.
We've touched on that in the past. Like, while it's great that we have the slot in place, you know, to protect the larger breeders, now we're focused on the prime breeders that are going to be breeding for the next span of years to come. So, you know, I'm not educated enough to know if that's a good happy medium or not. You know, I don't know yeah. if that's shooting ourselves in the foot down the road. Like, if we're going to have all 20-inch fish and 50-inch fish and nothing in between.
Right. You know? The only thing I could add is those slot fish that we have, half of them might be males because males don't grow over, they say, 16 pounds or whatever. So there's a good chance you're taking a male and not a female when once you get over that 20-pound class fish, they're all females.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. So you have a chance of at least of taking a male fish. Same thing with like the fluke, like 18 inches. Those are almost all female fish. Whereas yeah. some of our fisheries down, some of our states down south, they're cut off. Like you can keep a 16 and a half inch fish, where from what I've read, I don't know how thorough this science is. You know, an 18 inch fish is usually 80 to 85% female. Whereas once you go down to the 16 and a half inch fish, you have about a 60% chance of that being a female. So you got a better chance of taking a male in that scenario, which protects the fishery. For my standards, any fish that I keep for my family, and I'm very selective about what I do, I always like to keep the smaller end of the, you know, the size limits, just because I don't need that much. Like one 18-inch flounder feeds my whole family, you know, so I don't need more mm-hmm. than that. I don't eat fish, believe it or not. So I quarter one of those fish and my family's taken care of. I have three kids and a wife. So
right.
I used to be the guy that I would try to go out and get my limit. And, you know, as I've grown and as I've educated myself, I've kind of decided that it's probably not the best way to go. Like one fish is good enough for a meal. I don't need more than that, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think that there should be some protections in place for these smaller fish. I just don't know how we do it. You know what I mean? Like these smaller breeding fish.
Yeah.
I think
just
that's
gotta tell everybody to let them go.
Yeah. I mean, I personally from, and I've mentioned this on our show before. I don't target them as much as I used to. And I didn't target them a lot, but I used to run the beach every fall by myself for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now I feel like if I'm really going to talk about, you know, the conservation part of it, me putting pressure on them is just another avenue where they're getting, you know, another angle where they're getting people coming at them. I just kind of tend to lay off them a little bit and go towards other things. Now, is that really helping? I don't know. I'm one person, but if everybody has right. a mindset that we're, you know, we're taking care of these fisheries, then it's really just about educating the next class of anglers. And that's what I'm trying to do with my kids. I'm sure you're doing it with your children. You know, it's huge to be able to talk to them about, you know, conservation. Like my son, yeah. that walleye I told you about, for example, he said, "Dad, I want to go catch a fish that we can bring home to eat." Well, that fish was a female that was full of eggs. So when I told him about it, I said, you know, we take this fish, we're potentially taking hundreds to thousands of other fish out of this ecosystem. He said, "Dad, I don't want to do that. I want to let it go and let it have its make its babies and we can keep catching them." 4 years old. So it's working, you know, it's just, we gotta be better about educating the next class of anglers. And it just starts with us parents and then it branches out from there.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man. You've been great. Like you've given us Thank a lot you. Of great information and then I think Kyle's going to jump in and have you wrap up here and give all your contact info so we can get some people on board with you.
Yeah, that most definitely. So, you know, we're gonna be wrapping up here. So just please let our listeners know where they can find you at, how to book a trip, social medias, or any, or even if a website, you have one already set up. Just let the listeners know if they wanted a fun-filled trip with you out, where can they find you?
So yeah, I didn't set up a website yet. I'm working on it. But you can find me on Facebook under Chris Bukta Chris Bukta. You can message me on Facebook, Instagram, Rockfish Smarty or Rockfish Smarty Charters on Instagram. Send me messages. My phone number is up there. I'm at a Point Comfort Marina in Kingsburg, New Jersey. Or you can text me or call me 908-591-7761. I'm up most of the time, so call me anytime.
Sounds good. But if you guys didn't catch that, we're definitely going to have his links and his contacts in our box and comments right below this. So if you need to reach out to him and you can't find him, reach out to one of us. Reach out to our podcast. We'll definitely direct you guys right to him. So you guys get a nice. Remember, fish aren't here long. You get about another month, maybe a month, month and a half, and they're going to start moving. So if you want to get in on this really good bite now, please make sure you guys hit up Captain Chris. Me and Dan's going to stay on for a couple more minutes, wrap this up. But once again, Captain, we'd like to thank you for coming on board with us today, sharing the little infos you have. And we appreciate good captains like you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Chris, thank you. Pleasure talking to you. I haven't had a chance to meet you in person, but I followed along. You're a great fisherman. We are thrilled to have you as part of our podcast and get your message out to our people. So thank you for jumping on board with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Daniel.
You got it, brother.
All right. Besides that, have a great night, Captain. I guess that's a wrap.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Let's see. Me and Dan's going to stay on for a couple minutes. But besides that, have a great night.
Rest all right, you that, too, man.
Rest that, yeah, take those meds. See you rest out, that yeah. hand, man. All right. Good night, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Looks like we finished another one, buddy.
Yeah, man.
How do you think that one went? What do you think?
That was killer. That was killer.
Yeah. I love Chris, man. I've only known him for a few years, but he's an incredible man, incredible captain. The one time I've been out with him, like his passion and the way he carries himself, like he wants people on his boat to be happy. He wants them to catch fish, and he'll put the work in. If it takes him all day to find fish, he will. And that's exactly like the type of charter captain you want to find, one that's dedicated to making sure your trip as good as possible. Not every day is a banner bass, banner charter, but as long as the captain puts his effort in and you could tell that he has a passion to try to help you guys to have a great day, then that's all worth it in my books.
For sure. We've all been on those boats where the captain, he's looking at his watch, just kind of seeing like the time, like, okay, I got an hour left. And he starts, you see him start packing his stuff up on the boat before he's heading in. And Chris ain't like that, man. He's more passionate about making sure his guests are having the time that they're hoping for. And that's all we want, man. That when you go on these boats, you're paying good money to get some knowledge, number one, and get put on the fish. And that's all Chris is about. He's not about all the other stuff. It's not about money for him. It's about the passion. And that's why we're doing this. So we all are in agreement that's huge, man. It's going to be fun to watch how he grows into that business and how people follow him. Because that message that he's putting out there is going to resonate. I mean, you don't have to have the ability to keep fish, to have people on board. I know I don't need to keep fish, and I would book with Chris just because of the way he is, how passionate he is.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I'm going to enjoy watching his charter grow, and he's going to do a fantastic job.
Oh, so. For sure. He's a seasoned angler who just decided it was time to take it up a notch and challenge himself by putting other people in fish. A lot of us could sit back and just be comfortable with what we do every day. And that's it for us. But, the rest of us, these people, we want to pass it on to the next generation, whether it be our kids, our friends and, young anglers. I mean, I get messages from guys asking me for help all the time. I used to look at that as a negative thing, but now I'm like, I'm going to be 40 years old. It's not about me anymore. It's about making sure I'm helping set up the fisheries and, these other anglers to make sure that they're taking care of the fisheries for the next generation after them and so on. It's a lot about putting out the right message to the right people. And if you don't start off with that, they're going to get bad information from other people. You just got to give them the right information.
Yeah, I totally feel you. Everything you said, I'm right on that. So you think we're good for a wrap?
Oh, I think so.
All right, cool. So let me see. Well, there you have it, folks. Looks like we wrapped up another awesome episode for you guys. Once again, we'd like to thank Captain Chris of Rockfish Smarty Charters for sitting down with us this evening. Now, if you're looking for a fun-filled day with a great charter captain, please make sure you look him up, Rockfish Smart. We're gonna add his links down below to make sure you guys can reach him. If you have any problems reaching him, please make sure you reach out to us. We'll make sure you get connected to him. Just let him know that you did hear his podcast and then that you get mentioned it from us. As always, please make sure you like, subscribe, share, leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, and keep your eye on our Instagram and Facebook for future guest announcements. Besides that, have a great night, folks. Keep those lines tight. Good night, Dan, and I'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, everybody. Qua, pleasure as always. Just continue to tune in. We're getting better at this every week, and we have lots of great guests, lined up after Chris here. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming down the pipeline. So now's the time to jump in and follow along, and promise you'll be worth your while. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.
Join Captain Justin Leak and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.